I don't know if you know, if you guys know, but I started out my ministry as a Sunday school teacher, teaching third and fourth grade Sunday school class for many years. At the same time, helping out with the youth ministry. And then abruptly the youth pastor or minister left and I became that person. And that's how my youth ministry career started. So I love the young people, not just the teenagers, but I also love the elementary school age, and I feel like, you know, that's where we can invest the most. And so I thank you, those of you who are working with, obviously, the parents and also the Sunday school teachers that are there week in and week out, right, just instilling in them the Word of God. And so that's one of the most important things that we are doing as a church. And you know what? I love our young people, and I love seeing them because that represents life in a church. So many churches around us don't have young kids running around and messing things up and breaking things. By all means, go mess things around, you know, or break things, but, you know, we appreciate your presence here. We'd rather have you come and do that than not be here at all, right? So that's representing life. And so today, hopefully, I won't bore you guys too much with the message that should speak to the children as well as to the adults. So I'm going to try to be like Jesus, because that's what Jesus had to do, right? Every time he spoke a message. So I titled my message, Who is God to Me? And there are four things that I want to share from Psalm 16, okay? And the four things are, first of all, God is our safe place. Number two, God is our reward. And then number three, God is our friend. And number four, God is the source of our happiness. I'm going to come down real fast, okay? So let's go into the verses, and then I'm going to draw out these things from the Word of God. Psalm 16 says this, I, my God, keep me safe. By the way, I'm reading from NIRV, New International Reader's Version, that even children can read and understand, and that's why it seems very simple, okay? For some of the adults, hey, you know, ESV or NI, or whatever is hard, NIRV is an excellent version for you to get into, okay? So, I, my God, keep me safe. I go to you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, and without you, I don't have anything that is good. Some of the adults are like, I understand that. For the first time in my life, I'm understanding scripture. Well, use different versions, okay? So, what do we draw out of that? Simply, that God is our safe place. God is our safe place to go to. When we are afraid, when we are worried, especially when we fail, God is a safe place for us to go to. And why is that? Because in verse 2, the psalm writer, probably David, King David, says, without you, God, I don't have anything that is good. So think about King David, okay? King David was a king. He had anything he ever wanted. I mean, he could eat ice cream all day long if he wanted, right? He could play with iPads all day long if he wanted. He had everything that at his disposal. And he says, though, without God, I have nothing that is good. Isn't that weird? But David, you have so many things that are around you, right? How can you say, without God, as in, other than God, I don't have anything good? How can you say that? What could David mean by that? I believe what David means by that is that God is so good and so much better than any other thing that he has. Compared to God, everything else is like nothing. Doesn't really matter to him. And also, in addition to that, even the things that were once good are no longer good. And so God is the only one who is good all the time. Right? God is the only thing that is good constantly, all the time, because basically everything that is good, that we like, that we find pleasure, right, from, eventually we get bored of, right? How often we find ourselves hey, how many of you are still playing with the toys that you received for Christmas? For example, children, remember? Really? Okay. Some of you, that's nice, but most of us, we don't even remember. You got to think, okay, what did I receive for Christmas? I remember being very, very excited about it, but you don't even play with it anymore. Right? It doesn't really last. And those of you who love cookies and candies and ice creams, right? I mean, you keep on eating them, right? You won't like them very much. You won't like yourself very much if you kept on doing that, right? So even the good things, well, don't last very long. But God is the only one who is good all the time and will remain good. People change, even families change as you grow older. As good as your family is, it may not always be that way, right? Toys break, our apps stop getting updated, which is really annoying, right? We can't play that game anymore because whatever reason, right? But God is good all the time. I remember when I was in fifth grade, and this is an illustration of how God is a safe place to go to. I had to leave my family in fifth grade. So I was the same grade as my daughter, Senna, in fifth grade. She's going into sixth grade, right? For sixth grade, actually, I had to live with my aunt in a different city altogether. And it wasn't because my family was having an issue, but it was because my parents was living in a small village in South Korea back then, wanted me to go to a bigger city so that I will get better education in a bigger city. And so I lived with my aunt starting my sixth year in elementary school. And I remember thinking, because it's scary, right? And you're leaving all your friends behind, your village behind, your parents behind, and you're living with your aunt and new friends, new place, new school, and everything. And when I got scared, when I felt lonely, I remember thinking specifically, as long as my parents are there loving me, I'm okay. That was my hiding place. That was my safe place to go to. Knowing that my parents will always be there for me, that I will be okay. So that was my safe place that I went to. Right? So my parents were my safe place. But unfortunately, not all of you have that luxury, right? Not all of you have your parents with you. Some of you, right? Maybe your parents went through a divorce, and so you only get to have one of them and not the other. Well, where do you go? Well, God is saying, I am that same place. Your family could change, right? Your toys change, your interests change, your body changes, everything changes, but I don't change. I'm always there constantly. You can always come to me no matter where you are and no matter where you go. And so God is that safe place that we can always go to. A couple of applications, adults. How many of us thought that once we finally married, right, and have children, we will have arrived, that we will never feel lonely? True? No. No, you still feel lonely. Where do you go? Where should you go? God has always been there. Teens, when your best friend doesn't act like one anymore, by the time you're 15 or 16, the children, you know, the friends, best friends that you've had since kindergarten, you will be BFF forever, right? Now you're seeing some crack, right? Usually. And you don't believe me? Just wait a couple more years, okay? That happens. So what happens when your best friend isn't your best friend anymore? Who do you go to? There is God as your safe place that you can always go to. And children, when you fail, and you will fail, I fail all the time. Your parents fail, although they won't admit it. They fail probably more than you, right? But when you fail, and when you fail and you go to God, and you should go to God, He will never get angry at you. He will never reject you. He will always receive you, right? Because the Bible says that whenever we confess our sins, that means saying, sorry, God, I'll try not to do that again. And God will say, okay, I accept you. I love you, right? With compassion. Not, until you make it right, until you do right. Okay? You're not receiving my love. No, no, God never does that. Okay? God always forgives as long as we come back to Him. And so God is a safe place, especially when we do something wrong, when you feel guilty, right? And you know you've done something wrong and you don't want to tell your parents sometimes because you're going to get in trouble, right? You can go to God first and ask for forgiveness. He will forgive you. And then go to your parents. And hopefully the parents will forgive them as well, right? And accept them right back. Okay? So, God is our safe place, number one. Okay, second one, let's read verse 5. Lord, you alone are everything I need. You make my life secure, and I am very pleased with what you have given me, and I am very happy with what I've received from you. Adult version says this, I have a beautiful inheritance. Okay? What is inheritance? Inheritance is like a reward that you receive by being with God. And so the principle is, God is our reward. Right? Number one was, God is our safe place. Number two, God is our reward. Now, notice I didn't say God gives us a reward, like your teachers, right? When you do something good, something right, right? When you get 50 out of 50 on your test, right? You get like a little sticker, right? God, they give us our reward. But I said God is our reward. What does that mean? That means God doesn't just give us a gift. God gives us himself as the gift, okay? And teens, adults, we know intuitively, right? What somebody else who tells us that they love us can give us that is more important than anything else is what? Have you guys noticed? What is the most important gift that you can receive from a loved one? Car! 16 years old, right? No. You know what it is? Time. Time. When you run out of money, right, your life still goes on. But when you run out of time, you're dead. Time is our most precious commodity. So when we give that to somebody else, we are basically giving them ourselves. Years ago, I asked teenagers what they remember as the fondest memory growing up. So adults, pay attention, okay? What is your fondest memory growing up? And you know what probably 99 out of 100 said? Family trips. Family times. I know that some of them had received brand new cars, right? But none of them mentioned a gift. Yeah, I remember when my parents gave me this gift on such and such Christmas day or what have you. None of them mentioned that it's always, yeah, when we went away for that family trip, I remember vividly what we did, right? My dad like laughing and my mom doing something silly. I remember that. Why is it that? Why is it that they remember these things more than the gift that they have received? Because they know, children, adults, right, alike, we intuitively know that what's most important to us is our time. And so when we give of our time, we're giving of ourselves, and intuitively even children know that, oh, you are giving me yourself, right? And that's why it doesn't work when a dad feeling guilty about not spending time, enough time with their kid, buy them gifts after gifts after gifts, right? Try to buy their love. You can't do that. Kid knows, you know what? I'd rather have you, Dad, than your gifts. Gifts are nice, but I'd rather have you because that's the most important commodity that we have. And guess what? Who did that? God did that, right? God did that. God gave us himself as a reward. The most famous Bible verse. You guys finished this, right? For God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave what? Nintendo 64? iPad? No. He gave his one and only son, right? So God loved us so much, what did he give? He gave of his son. He gave a person. Basically, he gave himself to us. He gave us his time, his life to us. And so God himself is the reward, okay? And God himself is our inheritance. He is what we get when we get to heaven. So, I thought about it a little more, right? What does that mean, God giving himself to us? Like, does that mean that when we go to heaven finally, Jesus is going to follow us around everywhere? Right? He's going to be our roomie, and he's going to go to, like, the bathroom with me, and, like, when we were sleeping, I mean, that's kind of awkward, having a grown man, you know, with the beard in my room, you know, and that's weird. Like, what does it mean that God gives himself as an inheritance? So there's a guy who's far more smarter than I am, named C.S. Lewis, who said this, and I paraphrase, okay, because some of the adults won't understand what he says, right? Yeah, sometimes I get confused. But this is what he said. God is more than a person. So the picture of Jesus being our reward is going to be more than just a person staying with us and going with us everywhere we go. And the other things mentioned in the Bible, like great riches, wealth, feasting, eating, drinking, okay, ruling the cities, or being given the earth, such things are mentioned so that we will get a more complete picture of what having God as our inheritance is. In other words, when I married my wife, Janet, right, I wasn't just marrying her. I married everything that came with her, right, such as her family, right, wonderful brother-in-law who cooks up a storm, man, every time I go to his house. I mean, he's barbecuing, like, awesome, right? Right, you know, and then the mother-in-law and father-in-law that cares and brings us water and gifts and all of that. I mean, you know, her being a teacher and you know, makes a little salary, you know, that helps. All of that come with her. Now, did I marry her for all those things? No, I married her for her. But all those other niceties came with her. And so just like that, when we, right, when we believe in God and God gives himself as a reward to us, it's not just a person of Christ living what's following us everywhere, right? But it's all that represents God. And like I said, right, ruling the cities and the earth comes with it, right, is the nicety that comes with having God as our reward. Okay? All I know is that finally, when we go to heaven, we won't say this anymore. Only if, or I just wish this would happen. We won't think that anymore. Okay, why? Because all our longings, right, everything that we have ever desired will be fulfilled in heaven. Okay. Until death do us apart, right? In our wedding vow we say, but even death won't do us apart with a God like that. And he gives us himself as the reward. All right, let's move on. A couple more. I'll go fast. Verses 7 and 8. I will praise the Lord. He gives me good advice. Even at night, my heart teaches me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord, and he is at my right hand. So I will always be secure. What does it seem like that's telling us about God? He's our companion. He goes wherever we go. So he is. Who is always with us, teenagers? Like 24-7. You have access to them 24-7 through your phone. Who's like that? Your best buddy, right? Your friend. Your teacher's not always with us. I hope not. Right? But your buddy is always there, accessible to you. And that is who God is to us. He is our friend. God is our friend 24-7. Even better than our parents, because you know what? Your parents won't be there always for you, right? As soon as 18 hits, like, out of the house, right? Please, right? Psalm 27:10. My father and mother may desert me, abandon me, but the Lord will accept me. So God is even closer than our parents because he's a friend that will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, when we are young, it is your parents that have the greatest influence on you, right? You do what your parents say and you go wherever your parents tell you to go. But starting at age about 13 or 14 years old, right? Who's most important to you? Yeah, your friends, right? Your friends are everything to you. You do, you die. I mean, you do everything with your friends. You live for, you die for your friends, right? They have the greatest influence on us, friends. So we talk like, we dress like, we drive similar cars as we get older, right? If you want to know what you are like, okay, just look at your friends. Sometimes we can't tell what we are like, okay? All you got to do is just look at the people that are around you. That's the best assessment of who you are or what you are like. Just looking at the people that hang with you, all right? And a lot of times, without knowing, okay, it's not just a teenager problem, all right? I realize. It's like people in their 50s and 60s do the same thing. Without us knowing, we become like and we measure ourselves against the people that are around us, our friends, right? We buy what they buy. We go on the vacation that they have gone on, or similar places, right? We buy the same line of cars or same neighborhood as they do. Without knowing, we can't automatically follow the ones that are around us. But think about having God as your best friend. First of all, you can't measure up to him. How do you measure up to God, right? So you won't try anymore. And second, you know that he accepts you as you are no matter what you have or what you don't have. So you will always be accepted. And you will be confident, Not because you're better than or as good as your friends, but because you have Jesus as your friend who accepts you for who you are, and he's the one that matters to you most. And so you don't care. You don't give a rip what other people think about. You know, it took me 40 years to realize this. Okay? I am old, right? And so maybe that's why I don't really give a rip what people think about me as much as I used to, but I really don't. I'll give you an example. We just went on a vacation, 2-week vacation, I wonder what my wife was thinking the whole time, but I had a fanny pack, okay, in front of me. I know that was like in the 80s and 90s, but I didn't give a rip, right? And then I had a sunglass holder strap, you know, on my sunglass, right? I think John made a comment about that. So I kind of told him, I don't give a rip, man. He's like, who cares? Like, I don't care what people think of me, right? And then I had a big camera, right, sitting in front of me, okay? Not a phone, right, but I have a big honking camera in front of me, okay? And I was walking around like that everywhere. And I knew what I looked like. I look at myself in the mirror. It's like, wow, that's one nerdy tourist, right? That's me. But I didn't give a rip. Right? Now, if my children were a little older and they were embarrassed of me, then I'll probably change, but, you know, I don't really care. But I would like to think that it's not just because I'm old that I don't give a rip about what people think, but I would like to think that it's because that I care more about what God thinks than what people think, that I don't really care what people think, right? Because in the end, right, he's the only opinion that matters. He's his, right? I don't really care what other people think, because he's my best friend. And that affects how I preach, or what I preach about, how I dress myself, how I deal with conflicts, right? That if you make a rude comment about me or my balding head or my accent or my preaching, I don't care, right? Because I know what God thinks. That's the only thing that matters, because he's my best friend. Jesus said, I have called you friends. I have told you everything that I've learned from my Father. So it's not just me calling God my friend. God, Jesus, is calling me his friend. I like that. I love that. Okay. So Jesus is your friend. Last one, quickly. Verse 11. You always show me the path of life. You will fill me with joy when I am with you. You will make me happy forever at your right hand. So lastly, I can say God is our source of happiness. God is the only one who can make us truly be happy. Is there anybody in here who doesn't want to be happy? All right? I want to be happy. I want to be maximally happy. And God is the only one who can make us maximally happy. Happy. It doesn't matter where you are from, what your ethnicity is, we all want to be happy. I've been everywhere, right? And yeah, they all want to be happy. But everything that we do on this earth falls short. Gadgets, right? Family, right? Food, vacations, climbing the corporate ladder. All these things eventually fail. But the source of happiness is in God. And he is the only one who can make me permanently happy and infinitely be happy, because we can never exhaust him, right? In him lies the source of all happiness. And so, when you're stressed out and sad, where do you go as a safe place? God is your safe place, and you get peace. What's that? That's happiness. God gives you that happiness. When you hear of reward, right? A gift, you get happy instantly. And God is that reward, right? That we can never exhaust. And so he brings happiness that way. What about friendship? As soon as you think about, oh, your friends are going to be there, you're like, okay, I'll be there. You're happy, right? God is that friend to you. And so again, he represents that happiness to us. Now, God may not give you that instant happiness like drugs or sugar, right? Eventually they will ruin us, like instant spike of happiness and then lifetime of ruin. But God's happiness is constant, right? It's like good food. It's like almost like exercising. It builds up slowly, but it increases more and more and more, and our happiness increases in Him as we have more of Him. And the more of Him we have, the more of Him we want to get, and then we get happy just thinking about that it will be like this forever. That's what God promises us. So, how do we have this God? We have this God by having Jesus. Okay, and here's what I want to suggest to the children. If you forget everything I said, if you can remember this, this will change your life, and adults alike, and teenagers especially, because I started this. Spend 5 minutes a day. First thing in the morning, when you get up. Summertime, easy, right? You don't get up until like 12 noon, a lot of you. So when you get up, right, rather than reaching for your smartphone or your magic globe or whatever, right, you're into, grab your Bible or grab the devotional book that your parents should have bought you. And if they haven't bought you one, shame on you, parents, right? Grab one on Amazon.com or anywhere. They can just buy them one so that they can read for 3 to 5 minutes. It's not so that they will get something out of it. It's so that that habit will be built in. Okay? That habit, building that habit that will last a lifetime, and it will change their lives little by little. So if you haven't built that habit into you, as a child, as a teenager, or even as adults, it's not too late. Okay? Build that habit. Spend that time with Jesus. Know that He's a safe place for us to go. He's a reward, right? Our inheritance, and He's a source of happiness, and He's our friend. Remind yourself of that every day. Once a week isn't enough. It's not going to last. You need that every day. Let's pray.